Hi, today is July 27th, 2019. This is Comics News Podcast 106. I'm Todd Ogasawart, my good friend Jay Stone, and we're back. Our last podcast, Comics News Podcast, was way back in March. Jay's been super busy. I've been moderately busy, and our schedules just didn't sync up for a while. But we're back. And we're going to talk about something old, actually. When did the Shazam movie come out? Came out
April?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Came out in April.
Yeah.
I saw the preview, though. My wife and I went and saw the preview.
Yeah. Oh, you're coming in soft. Maybe you can unplug the microphone. Maybe it might
better?
Be better. Try it without the mic?
Try it without the mic?
Yeah.
How's this?
Say something again.
How's this?
Wow. I don't know. It's kind of soft. So we're having a little bit of audio issues, but we'll muddle our way through it. Maybe if you talk a little bit closer to the computer you're using. Jay's borrowing a computer
tonight. I put it right up to my face. Can you hear me at all?
You're really soft. It's like you're way far.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah. So what are you using right now to record?
It's just HP.
Okay. And where's the microphone?
Well, I unplugged it.
No. Where's the microphone on HP?
I'm not sure.
Huh. Might be at the top of your screen.
I don't know where the mic is.
Try talking near the top of your screen. Let's see if it sounds any better.
Does it sound better?
Yeah, it does, actually.
Oh, so it's by my camera.
Okay, that makes sense. All right.
Sure, I can do that.
Yeah. It's way better, way better.
Okay. I just turned the screen closer to my face.
There you go. All right. Anyway, as I was saying, we're back, and we're going to talk about a movie. It's July, but we're going to talk about a movie that came out in April, and that's DC Shazam. So first up, Jay, before we start talking about the details, thumbs up, thumbs down. How do you feel?
Oh, thumbs up. I love the movie.
Yeah,
my wife really loves the movie.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's one of her favorite comic book movies.
Really? I enjoyed it, too. I enjoyed it,
too. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun. Everyone should watch Shazam.
That's the key word, right? Fun.
Yeah, Shazam is fun. Shazam should be fun.
Yeah, kind of like how Thor was.
Oh, the Ragnarok?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best Thor movie.
Yeah.
That's one of the best Marvel movies.
Period.
Yeah, period. It's Ragnarok was just so well done.
Yeah.
That actually, my wife doesn't really like comic book movies. She's not really into comics, but she liked Ragnarok. She liked Guardians. She likes the funny ones, you know, like Ant-Man.
Yeah, the lighter ones.
Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yeah.
She likes a lot. She's not really into Avengers and stuff. Mm.
So were you you know, the movie Shazam, the character is referred to as Shazam because of legal reasons, because somehow, even though the faucet Captain Marvel came before anybody else, Marvel Comics has the copyright for the Captain Marvel character name.
Well, they have the trademark.
The trademark.
They have the trademark for it, so they can't. They could call DC can call Captain Marvel Captain Marvel, but they can't put it on any trade press.
And they don't refer to the character in any other way
anymore. Yeah,
you know, which is kind of annoying.
They didn't mean the trademark. It has to be in use.
Yeah.
And then Marvel pounced and took it away.
So I'm going to refer to the character as Captain Marvel because that's just how I know the character.
Yeah.
To me, Shazam is the name of the wizard.
It is.
You know? So, why do we call both the wizard and Captain Marvel Shazam? And, of course, it means Captain Marvel can't refer to himself.
That's right.
Right? Like, I'm Shazam. Oops.
That's in the movie, too, right?
Yeah.
They make a joke out of that.
So, but that said, as I said, I did enjoy it. I mean, you know, despite some of the problems caused by legal issues. The one thing I wanted to note is that, for those of you not familiar with Shazam, a.k.a. Captain Marvel, it was created way back when, let me think. I want to say it was shortly after Superman. Superman was 1938. 1939, it says here, I think.
39?
Yeah.
Oh, was that the throwaway one?
Well, it's cover dated 1940, but you know how comics dates are like months and months ahead of the actual release date? It was like that.
Yeah, but like they had a... Wiz Comics number one,
yeah,
was like a black and white.
Yeah, that was a throwaway.
It was a throwaway. It was Wiz Comics number two where it really kind of came out.
So Wiz Comics number two has a cover date of February 1940, but it was released in December 1939.
Oh, okay.
Which is a little over a year after Superman. Basically, it was a copy of Superman, right? I mean, and that led to the whole lawsuit and all that. But, so, that's it. It's a very old character. And I don't know how closely most people have followed it. I don't even know how closely you followed it, Jay. But the version in the movie is not the original version of Billy Batson and Captain Marvel and or anybody else for that matter. It's really the rebooted version from the New 52. And I happened to read, because of the movie, I read that rebooted version that was collected in a graphic novel and available through Comixology Unlimited. So,
oh, I didn't know that. It's on Unlimited?
Yeah. Yeah. So I borrowed as the terminology is by Comixology Unlimited. I borrowed that graphic novel. Really not a graphic novel, really a collection, right? Comic book collection.
Yeah, it was a backup story in the Justice League comic book.
Yeah. So I read that and went through it. And basically, the movie, relatively speaking, is very faithful to the comic book, the New 52 reboot. With the big exception of the big bad. And in the comic book. Did you read the comic book, by the way, Jay? The New 52 reboot?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Yeah. So the big bad is Black Adam, which makes a whole lot of sense. But because DC decided to give Black Adam his own movie, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I think.
Well, it is The Rock, right?
It is The Rock. They had
he
to...
He was the producer in this film.
Yeah. They had to rewrite the story considerably and made Savannah, Dr. Savannah, the big bad and give him Black Adam's powers, which makes no sense at all, to me anyway.
No, I miss the fact that he's supposed to be like a Lex Luthor clone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I missed that part.
So in the comic book, in the New 52 reboot, Savannah is in the story, but he is the one instrumental in bringing Black Adam back from his exile after 5,000 years.
Yeah.
So, and Savannah's never had powers to my recollection. So, you know, except for being a super genius. So it made little sense to do it that way. I almost wish they had created just a new character, you know, and call him whatever they want to call him and make him the big, magical, strong, bad person.
Mm. Well, I miss his family.
Which one? Savannah?
Savannah family.
Well, the son and daughter were there.
He didn't have a son and daughter.
Yeah, in the movie. Or were they?
No, he didn't have a son and daughter.
So who were they?
Thaddeus Savannah didn't have a son and daughter.
Yeah, they're in the movie.
Where?
What is their name? Magnifico and Magnificent or something like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't recall them in the movie. I remember there was a scientist in the movie.
Mm.
They had
that. Oh, yeah, it was in the comic book. Yeah, they didn't bring him into the... You're right. You're right.
Yeah, it was in the comic book, but they didn't put him in the movie.
You're right.
Right, I missed the... He has that son, and they have, like, funky names.
Right.
They
like Beauteous and Magnificus or something like that.
Yeah, they build these big robots and go after him and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They made him basically a single older guy.
Right, right, right. I stand or sit corrected, as the case may be. So, in any case, okay, so I stand corrected on that one. I got it mixed up in the comic book. That's what happens when you read the comic book and watching the movie. But, I don't know. You know, how did you feel about the New 52 reboot of Captain Marvel?
I liked it, but, you know, Geoff Johns tends to write things kind of dark.
Yeah.
So my favorite, I mean, I followed Captain Marvel for a long time.
Yeah.
And also when I was a kid, right, they had the 1970 show,
mm-hmm.
Saturday morning cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not cartoon. It was a Saturday morning live action.
Yeah.
And so I watched that like every week. I loved Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And then I picked up the comic books when I could afford it.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the Jerry Ordway version.
Oh, yeah.
Shazam.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I have like every issue of that one. I even have his hardcover.
Oh, nice.
The graphic novel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... He did a really, really good job.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Captain Marvel so much. I really just wanted to read him in a comic book. And, I mean, the comic book is... It's pretty good, but yeah, I agree with you and your notes. They made Billy a little bit too, he's too much of a troubled kid.
Yeah, and that comes from the comic book, as you said. You know, it's not just a movie.
Yeah, that version.
Yeah.
There's another comic book. It's probably Unlimited. I don't know if you read it. It's Superman Shazam.
Go ahead.
I mean, in the 2000s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that one was really good.
Is that the one that that the animated movie is based on?
It could be. I don't remember. I thought the comic book was really good. Mm-hmm. So, like, basic, it, I think it's supposed to be, like a retelling of their first meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that one really kind of showcases, you know, Billy Batson as being this homeless kid on the streets. And,
right.
You know, and Shazam giving him the powers, and then Superman really trying to become like a mentor, you know, to Shazam.
Hmm.
But like every instance of Shazam that they do is good, like especially in the comics.
Yeah.
Not the comics. The animated TV shows.
Oh, okay.
Because he was in Justice League Unlimited.
Yes.
And then he was also in Young Justice.
Really?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
He was in Young Justice.
I gotta go rewatch that.
Not the current
season one or season two.
Season one or season two.
Yeah.
Right? And then not everyone in the Justice League in that universe knows that he's a kid.
Ah.
Right? Only some people do.
Right.
Right? And so if you don't know that Captain Marvel is actually a child, you when you watch the show, right? Because like my daughter watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, whoa, he's a little kid. Right? He ends up, you know, he goes on this adventure, then he comes back home and he lives with Uncle Dudley.
Right.
Right? And then he turns back. You know, he talks to Uncle Dudley like a kid and all the fun he had
right.
with the Young Justice people, Young Justice team, and then in the Justice League. And then he becomes a kid. And then Dudley says, hey, get to bed. Kind of thing, you know. So she remembered him in the Justice League Unlimited when he fought Superman.
Yeah.
But I don't think she knew that he was actually a little kid.
Right.
And then when she saw Young Justice, she was like, what? So, I mean, if you don't know the story.
Yeah.
And they introduce the character as an adult, it's pretty right. shocking when you find out. Then you realize, oh, that's why he acts like that.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and as you know, going back to what you're saying, that you know the this Billy Batson, the reboot from New 52 is a little, to me, too rough around the edges.
But I thought the one in the movie was less so.
Yes, you're right.
The comic book, he's pretty kind of gritty.
Right.
The movie, he's just, you know, he feels abandoned, and he's trying to find his what he thinks is his true family.
Right.
I mean, he's still a kid, right? So he really honestly believes that his mom... Okay, everyone, spoilers, right? It's from
April. This is an old movie, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, he feels that his mom just is still looking for him.
Right.
You know, he has that naivete. So that part, I liked how they did that in the film. Because it made him more a little bit... He's a tough kid, but it made him more like the Billy Batson that I remember.
Right. An actual child.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but you know, to me, the biggest difference, and it's probably because today's audience wouldn't accept it, is that in the original, you know, 1939 Captain Marvel, Billy Batson really was deserving of the gifts that the Wizard Shazam bestowed upon him. You know, he really was a kid, pure of heart, blah blah blah. You know, in this one, it was kind of Shazam says, "Well, you're what I got."
Pretty right? much.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he waited. He searched for perfection for so long,
right?
That it got to a point where he had to do something about it,
right? And you know? And Billy was close enough for government work, as they say.
Yeah, pretty much.
and even after he became Captain Marvel, you know, the nobility did not come with the transformation immediately, right? It took a while.
Yes, it did.
And it led to some funny scenes and things. That's fine. You know, kind of like when Peter Parker becomes Spider-Man, kind of funny. But...
Yeah, yeah.
But... And I guess modern audiences would not accept the 1939 version of Billy Batson anyway, so...
Wow. I mean, you get this kid who lives on the street,
yeah.
gets the powers, and decides to still remain on the street?
Yeah.
I mean, that... Yeah, I mean, for a comic book... You know, as a kid, that seems pretty okay. And then somehow he becomes a radio reporter.
Right.
He's a kid. as the radio reporter, and even though he's a radio reporter, he's still homeless on the street. that's just pure, you know, comic book fantasy. There's no way anyone would accept that.
It's pure 1930s and 40s.
But that's true.
You know, because in the 1930s and 40s, we also had characters like the Newsboy Legion, Jack Kirby, right? And, you know, and in a very, very similar kind of circumstances, because of a whole group of kids now, kind of this the street urchin, you know, meme or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's like Oliver Twist.
Yeah. So, you know, in that time period, or, you know, Little Orphan Annie, right? Even earlier, 1920s.
Yeah, or what's that one? Not Rin Tin Tin. The one from Europe, he has a dog.
Tintin.
Tintin.
It's spelled Tintin, but yeah.
Tintin?
It's spelled T-I-N-T-I-N, but I think it's pronounced Tintin because of language.
It's like French or something, right? It's European.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little kid that solves mysteries with a dog. Belgian.
Yeah. So it was sort of the, you know, the genre from that period, right?
And yeah,
And it was easy to accept back then, for whatever reason. But you know, but that, you know, that said, you know, you may have also read in my notes before we started is, I really wish it were a period piece, you know, set in the 1940s.
Like back in the 40s?
Yeah, you know,
that would have been interesting.
Right? Because they had Wonder Woman was a period piece, right? World War One.
Yeah, war, but it worked.
Yeah. And so I, you know, as I watched it, I said, boy, I wish they'd made this a period piece in the 1940s. Then maybe would have been more accepting of this whole street urchin notion. They wouldn't have had to introduce the concept of a foster family and, you know, other kinds of inventions for the story to make it work in modern times.
Yeah, but if they had it a period piece, they could have made it like a generational thing.
Right.
You know?
So, you know, and also, and this is where, again, with the what would audience accept, is I wish Talkie Tawny were a talking tiger.
Well, I read the Shazam comic book, the modern one.
Yeah.
Right? They rolled out of the New 52, right?
Right.
So, there is a Talkie Tawny.
Yeah, but not in the movie.
No.
I mean, there is Talkie Tawny, but he's a regular tiger in a zoo.
Yeah, or he's a stuffed animal. There's tiger motifs throughout.
Yeah.
But in the comic book, right, there's the Wildlands. It's one of the seven realms that intersect with the Rock of Eternity.
Yeah.
And so there's a basically a magical land where it's anthropomorphic animals.
Mm.
And that's where Talkie Tawny comes from.
Which makes sense. And I would have accepted that.
Yeah. And then there's a monster land. That's where the Monster Society of Evil will probably come from.
Right.
So they have these seven realms. So they, in my mind, I'm hoping in the next movie they'll introduce Talkie Tawny.
Yeah. Same.
That would be awesome.
Yes, absolutely.
That would be weird.
Well, I don't think it'd be weird. They did introduce Mr. Mind, the worm, at the end of the movie. So
that was weird.
You know.
So for my family, it was weird. For me, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Mr. Mind's one of my favorite characters. Right.
And you do see Mr. Mind earlier in the movie. They don't introduce him, but you do see the worm in a jar, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, there wasn't a total shock to see him at the end. But, yeah, hey, you know what? If we can believe in a talking worm, we can believe in a talking tiger.
Yes.
I'm good with that.
Yes. And then we have to get Marvel Bunny.
Well.
I want Marvel Bunny.
It wasn't Marvel Bunny from an alternate universe, though?
Yes, but if you read I read the comic.
Okay.
Marvel Bunny, I think, is Darla's bunny.
Oh.
So, like, one time she transforms or something, and the lightning touches the bunny.
Right.
And then the bunny floats away.
Interesting. And becomes
sentient. They haven't brought him back again.
Yeah.
But there was, like, one, like a backup story.
I see.
To the main comic. And then I went, oh, well, they're going to bring back Marvel Bunny. That's so cool. So somehow it gets doused with the lightning and gets magical powers. But they didn't really explore it yet. Captain Marvel and the Marvel family are going through a lot of problems in the Seven Realms.
I guess I got to go catch up on that. I haven't read all of that stuff. I mean, like I said, I read the collection that the movie is based on, but I didn't read anything past that.
It's okay. I mean, Geoff Johns is kind of spread thin, so
it's
not his best work. But it's a fun book.
Do you know if it's available in DC Universe?
Not yet.
Okay, otherwise I'll go check in Comixology.
Recent.
Okay, too recent. It doesn't hit that 1 year mark.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I think there maybe soon. I think there's 12 or 13 issues now.
Right.
So maybe in a couple months. But you know, even if it's after a year, I remember Jim Lee saying it takes time for them to digitize it properly. So just because it's a year doesn't mean you're going to get your next issue immediately. You just have to wait.
Yeah, I know. I've been waiting for them to actually go back way back to the 60s. I've been waiting for them to get to House of Secrets because I want to reread the original Dial H for Hero. But it's not on DC Universe yet.
No, but I don't. Jim Lee said that eventually their entire catalog will be there.
Yeah.
Slowly be like every single issue of like DC Comics.
Well, I hope that DC Universe, the service, which includes both video and comic books, survives the transition to whatever is going to happen. You know, now that AT&T owns Time Warner Publications and all of that.
Everything I've heard is, yeah. I mean, I've heard that DC Universe is still going to survive in its own way.
I hope so.
But you know, there will be Doom Patrol will be on HBO Max.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if DC Universe will be like how, you know, Amazon has channels and Apple TV has channels.
Right.
And YouTube Red has channels, that kind of thing.
Right.
I'm wondering if what they'll do is that there'll be HBO Max, which has all their streaming services under one umbrella, and then you could add or subtract channels.
Ugh, sounds expensive.
It does, you know. But, yeah. But I mean, for me, I use DC Universe a lot.
Yeah.
Because I get free comics. I get free comics.
No, I read a lot of comics in DC Universe.
And they have old ones, too, you know.
Yes. Not House of Secrets yet. But, yeah, they do have a lot of old ones.
Well, they have Old Legion.
Yeah, except they're missing one story that I really would like to read. It's a two-parter. That was the Adult Legion of Superheroes, the first incarnation of the Adult Legion of Superheroes, and I have the physical Part One comic book, and the digital Part One is available in DC Universe and on Comixology, but it is not but the Part Two is not available, so I've never read the end of the story.
I've been waiting
literally comics, decades. Right? Yeah, Adventure Comics. I have literally been waiting decades to read the end of that story. I hope I can read it before I die.
Wow. Hopefully they'll post it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that a Jim Shooter?
Yes. Might have been pre Jim Shooter, but you know what? You keep talking. I'll look. Adult.
Isn't that crazy? Jim Shooter started when he was like 16.
Yeah.
Writing for Adventure Comics. And I remember reading the old Adventure Comics as reprints, like someplace, and his stuff was good.
Oh, yeah.
16-year-old kid, he was a good writer.
And to answer your question, yes, the writer was Jim Shooter.
Jim Shooter, right?
Yeah, and the penciler was Kurt Swan.
Yeah. Jim Shooter, Kurt Swan.
Yeah.
Those stories were awesome. I mean, that sounds to me like a Jim Shooter story.
Yeah.
And, of course, the editor, what was it like? Was it Julius?
No, it's Martin Weisinger.
Mark Weisinger?
Yeah.
Right? Classics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All of them. Inker George Klein. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I like that. I mean, I like every era of the Legion except probably the New 52. They really messed that one up. That was... I tried reading it, and I was like...
Not readable? Well, I guess...
I don't know if it was too much editorial oversight.
Yeah.
It wasn't clicking like how it used to.
Yeah.
But they're going to bring it back.
Well, like I said, I see the plot synopsis here. I guess I can read that. It's not very much a plot synopsis, but I guess I can read that to get an idea of how the story ends. But the really interesting thing about that two-part story, well, one, it was two parts. You know, there weren't very many two-part stories back then. But the most interesting thing was that it... You know how most of these kind of future stories tended to be what-if or Elseworlds or whatever they called it back then? This one appeared to be
imaginary
in canon.
Stories.
Imaginary worlds.
Imaginary stories.
Yeah, but this one appeared to be canon because the things that were shown in Adult Legion stories became integrated into the storyline of the Legion as it went on over the years.
Yeah, you know? I can believe that. Well, you know, Jim Shooter was all into this continuity thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, Anyway, so it's one of those things I, like I said, kind of my bucket list before I die. I would like to see part two of the story.
Well, Jim Lee is on Twitter and Instagram. Send him a tweet.
I guess so.
Jim, I've been waiting to read part two for decades.
Yeah.
I never picked it up.
Yeah. I never bought the, back issue.
Can you post Adventure Comics, whatever, just please?
Yeah.
I'm getting on.
Yeah.
I would like to read it before I die.
Yeah, exactly. In fact,
how hard can it be? You have part one.
And okay. Then you skip. Adventure Comics 354, so I've got that physical comic, but I don't have Adventure Comics 355, which is where the story, the two-part story ends.
So Jim Lee's listening. Or if one of our, I don't know how many fans we have left now.
Yeah.
Our fives a fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Any of you know Jim Lee, pass it on.
Well, he's on social networks, though.
Well, yeah, that's why I say you can tweet him.
Yeah.
I follow Jim Lee.
Yeah. And I've mentioned this before, but it's worth noting again, that Jim Lee does these live, what's that gamer network? Twitch. I think he uses Twitch he does live drawing and talks to fans as he draws and stuff. I mean, it's hours long.
Yeah, that's, I think, really cool.
Yeah.
He'll draw something.
Yeah.
And he'll just talk about stuff. I mean, yeah. I haven't watched those, but I have looked at, DC will have they would have a video of an artist.
Yeah.
And they would draw something and then they would talk. It's usually like at a con or something.
Right.
Right. So I've watched things like that, but not like on his channel or
something. This is really cool. And you can find it on YouTube. You don't have to be on Twitch. So you can go to YouTube and search for Jim Lee, draws or something, and you'll probably find a whole bunch. Usually he draws with actual pencil, which is kind of interesting, physical. But every now and then he uses an iPad, which I find even more interesting, because that's how I do my own little doodling. So it's kind of fun to watch how a real pro uses the same tools I use. Mm. In any case, getting back to Shazam. So, yeah, I wish it said it in the 1940s. I wish Takitani talked. And, I think they introduced the Marvel family, way too early. I mean, with powers. It's okay to introduce the characters, but with powers.
When I saw that, because I read the comic book, right?
Yeah.
And my wife has no idea who this guy is.
Right.
And my kids never read that part of the comic. They only know it from, Young Justice or Justice League Unlimited, right?
Right.
And so when they saw it, and I saw what was going to happen, I went, what? They're going to do that now?
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I guess you could do it. I mean,
it's
a big shocker.
Yeah.
It's a huge twist.
Yeah.
To introduce it so quickly. But, though, my family all, even though I kind of agree with you, maybe they should have waited a little, to the next movie.
One more movie, yeah.
One more. But they really liked it. They felt that building up to that point and knowing all the foster kids' characters.
Right.
And that made them love the movie even more.
Interesting.
Yeah, especially Darla.
Yeah.
Because the adult actress really plays her like a, because she's the youngest, right?
Right.
Like a young kid, right? So they really appreciated when they all became adults. They thought that was one of the best parts of the film. And they're really glad that it was in.
So it really works for the modern audience. Not so much for me, but for the modern audience.
I mean, I really enjoyed it. I mean, I think it put the movie over the top.
Yeah.
But I think if you're thinking like multi-film kind of thing.
Like a three-part movie or something.
You probably would have delayed it. But it was pretty cool.
Yeah, because in the comics, and I'm going back to the 1940s versions now, and with the realization that they added a whole bunch of, Marvel family characters for diversity, ethnic diversity, which makes sense. But in the Marvel comics, I can't remember who was introduced first. I think Captain Marvel Jr. comes first.
Before Mary Marvel?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Captain Marvel Jr. was like hurt or something, and then Captain Marvel had to save him.
Yeah.
And that's why he gave him his powers.
Yeah.
But he was still, even though he had superpowers, he was still like a teenager.
He was still a kid, yeah. He
wasn't an adult like in the new...
In the new 52. Like
in the new movie, yeah.
Yeah, or the movies. And same thing for Mary Marvel, right? Mary Marvel was an older teenager in the comic books and was pretty much still a teenager as Mary Marvel.
Yeah.
But not an adult like she is in the movies. And others didn't exist. Darla and the other Marvel family members that I recall.
No, those didn't. I mean, you had like Uncle Marvel.
Yeah.
Bunny Marvel, that kind of thing. But, you know, you had... when they did the New 52, they created the Seven Wizards at the Rock of Eternity.
Yeah.
Before there was only Shazam, right?
Right.
And now they have seven, right? But the other Marvel family characters in the movie are supposed to be the other wizards.
Mm.
But you're missing one.
Yeah.
Right? There's only six of them.
Yeah.
So who's supposed to be the seventh?
I don't know. Do you know?
I know. That.
Did you do the counting?
Huh?
Did you do the counting to see who's missing?
Well,
I didn't.
No, because Billy Batson only has five foster brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and he breaks the staff in the film.
Right.
So he can't transfer his power to anyone else.
Right.
Right? So there's only six members of the Marvel family who can sit on the thrones.
Right.
But there's supposed to be seven. So I wonder if that's where Black Adam comes in.
Maybe. Or Takitani.
Yeah, are they going to create... Or Kid Eternity.
Yeah. Oh, Kid Eternity. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. You remember him?
I do remember him.
He could bring back the dead?
Yep. Yep. Teenager. Your aunt's kid. Yeah. Only temporarily, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Only temporarily.
Yeah. Like for the duration of a fight or something.
Yeah. That would be awesome if they brought in Kid Eternity.
Yeah.
In the next movie.
Yes. Do you think there's going to be a next movie?
Oh, yeah. They've already talked about it.
Okay.
You know, they went with this one. They went cheap. It supposedly only cost about $90 million to make,
mm-hmm.
which is cheap for a superhero movie.
Sure, yeah.
It was very budget conscious. And so it made maybe a little under $400 million.
Yeah.
But it was very profitable for the studio.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so, it looked good for a, you know, quote-unquote cheap film.
Yeah, a cheap superhero film. It was well done.
Yeah.
For that price. So I think that's actually a pretty good strategy for the studio.
Hmm.
You know, because the movie was good not because of the effects and the flashiness. It was good because of the story.
Yes. It would have been better if they had Black Adam, but okay.
Well, yes, I agree.
Yeah.
But when The Rock wants his own movie...
Yeah, what you going to do?
Really? And you want to make him more like an anti-hero, kind of a hero? I mean, it's The Rock, right? I mean, he's the biggest movie star on the planet right now. And he's a huge... He's like one of the most powerful producers in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to say to The Rock? Nah! You really need to be in this film. I don't want to be in the film. And I don't have to be.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, I'll make my own film. And I'll buy the rights myself. You know?
Yeah.
He has that kind of power, right?
Right.
As well. So, I mean, they've changed up Black Adam in the books a lot. The comic books?
Yes.
So he is evil, but it's not it's a gray. He's a much more complex character than.
Well, didn't they retcon it that, you know, the evil Black Adam is really the result of like some other entity controlling him?
At one time there was something like that, but I don't know if that's the most modern version. He's more like they made him like you know, because he was around. He's been retconned to have been around the same time as the Hawks.
Right.
Right? And he was like Prince of Kandak, which is their version of Iraq.
Right.
In the comic book. And so he's now the ruler of Kandak in the modern comics.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they made him more like a Doctor Doom.
Yeah. I've been reading the, I don't even remember which version. I think the 2008 Justice Society.
Oh, yeah.
With Black Adam as an integral part of the storyline. And so that's what I'm basing it off of. And that's too early for New 52? I think it's pre-New 52. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, so they really made him more like a Doctor Doom kind of character where he controls his own country.
Right.
You stay out of his country and he'll stay out of your country.
Right.
Kind of thing. And what could anyone do to him? I mean, even Superman can't beat him because he's magic.
Yeah.
You know, he's essentially immortal. You know, and almost all powerful. I mean, you know, being imbued of the gods.
Right.
So there's not much people can do to him.
Well, you know, you got to trick him into saying Shazam, and then he turns into the human person who, you know, is so old that he turns to dust and dies.
Yeah,
that's what happens in comics. Nowadays. Well, it's happened in the comics several times, actually. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it happen in
recent times.
In a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, where's his wisdom, right? He gets tricked.
Right. Well, at any rate, so that's Shazam. I think Jay and I both enjoyed it. I have a couple of personal issues that I've, you know, expounded on in our podcast. But all in all, I'm looking forward to Shazam number 2 or whatever they're going to call it. Hope they bring the talking version of Talkie Tawny, and I'll be much happier.
Yeah, they got a Talkie Tawny. I want to see Uncle Dudley.
Yeah.
Oh. And I want to see the bunny.
The bunny. And also maybe the Talkie Tawny version of Powers. Because there's two versions of Talkie Tawny that I recall. One is sort of the dapper talking tiger with human clothes on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the other is this sort of like, animal avatar
that
fights alongside of Captain Marvel and has superpowers and is pretty scary. So.
Well, I was hoping, I hope it like, in the movie he gives the tiger to that girl.
Right.
You know, when they're hiding out.
Right.
I think in the Jerry Ordway series, wasn't Talkie Tawny his stuffed animal?
I'm trying to remember. I think you're right.
And then, like, he would come to life every once in a while?
Yeah. I think I've got that borrowed, that version borrowed on one of my iPads, so I'll probably get around to reading it sometime. I should note that, I was going to tie up or end the Shazam part. I did want to mention to you, or discuss with you briefly, the upcoming Crisis of Infinite Earths in the Arrowverse.
Yes.
And
yes.
Brandon Routh, is that how you pronounce his last name? Who plays Adam at the Atom?
I don't know.
Right now, is going to apparently come back as the Kingdom Come version of Superman.
Yes, that's so awesome.
So I don't know if you saw Alex Toth's pencil drawing of Brandon Routh.
Did.
Okay.
That was awesome.
Yeah, so.
And it's Alex Toth, right?
Right. So I am now rereading Kingdom Come.
that's probably one of the best series ever made. That was so well done.
Yeah. So that's one of my rereadings right now is I also reread Red Sun after the Supergirl Red Daughter sequence.
Oh, they're going to come out with an animated film, right?
Of Red Sun? Yes, I did read about that.
It's supposed to be on DC Universe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to see how it'd be as good as the miniseries is really good. I really enjoyed Red Sun.
Yeah, Red Sun was awesome.
Yeah.
Who wrote that one?
Oh, I don't remember. But that twist ending just took me by surprise.
Yes. But that same ending was basically what Alan Moore did with Supreme.
Really? See, okay, I didn't read all of Alan Moore's Supreme. I read the first couple of comics, but that's all.
Yeah, when Alan Moore took over Supreme, it became really good. When Rob Liefeld did it, it was awful.
Oh, okay. I think I read the Rob Liefeld version.
It was awful. So Rob Liefeld started Supreme, which is basically Superman. It was just horrible. And then Alan Moore came in and he said, okay, I have this idea. Let me do it. And it was just so much better. It was really, really well done. Because it's actually a similar twist of how, Supreme becomes Supreme.
Right. So at any rate, yeah, so I've been really enjoying those on my DC Universe subscription. Excuse me. And I was just going to take a look if there's anything else I've been reading on DC Universe. I've been reading Titans recently, actually.
Which version?
I think it's the 2008 with Deathstroke. The Deathstroke Titans.
I don't know about that one. Okay.
Yeah. So, 2008 Titans. This storyline starts about issue 20-something, maybe 30. maybe 30. And basically, Deathstroke assembles a group of sort of heroes and sort of villains and calls themselves the Titans.
Really?
Yeah. And the team includes Speedy, who at this point has lost his arm.
Oh, you mean Arsenal?
Yeah. Well, he's not calling himself anything at this point.
Oh.
So he's been Speedy, Red Arrow, Arsenal, but he's not calling himself, with a mechanical arm, he's not calling himself anything. Okay, the new Tattoo Man or whatever he's called.
Yeah.
and a kind of a strange version. It's not Captain Marvel Jr., but Same powers, kind of like a Black Adam Jr. kind of thing.
Yeah. So in the comic books, Black Adam has like a wife and a son.
Yeah.
The wife is like Isis.
Right. Well, I don't know. Isis is his sister, I think.
Really?
This powerful teenager. But yeah, I think it's his sister.
Okay.
But anyway, it's a pretty interesting take on the Titans. You know, it's kind of anti-heroes, right? And you really don't. And I, at this point, I'm kind of in the middle of the series of the storyline, story arc. And I'm not quite sure what Deathstroke is really trying to do. But it's pretty interesting. Excuse me. Alrighty then. So, that's Comics News Podcast 106. Our first one since way, way back in March. It is good to talk to you, Jay.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So sorry.
No, me too.
Really, 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 really busy.
Yeah, it's been really hard to kind of synchronize, but it's okay. And so with that, I will call this the end of 106.